this is a legal aspect that we, the Canopus Center, any nonprofit, has to hold an annual meeting once a year. And so this is for the record. Okay, so it's okay that we lost a bunch of people, and I'd rather have them leave than sit here and, with negative mind. Okay, so from a legal aspect, we're going to go ahead and continue our meeting. This will be available online, both for people to watch if they need to afterwards, and also for to cover our nonprofit obligations. My name is Sandy Carlson. I'm the president of the board of directors, and this is the 2018 annual meeting and for Canopus Center. So the first thing I want to do is just thank everybody from... I did listen to Heyman's message last year, and it was so beautiful that I'm going to reiterate some of it, that to thank all of our illustrious teachers from Shakyamuni Buddha all the way through the lineage to His Holiness the Dalai Lama, to Khyentse Rinpoche and Lama Zopa Rinpoche, and to our Geshe's here, Geshe Gelug and Geshe Tsongpo, and also the teachers, our lay teachers that teach discovering Buddhism from their hearts, and just everybody that's involved from that aspect of it. And I want to also thank the board of directors. We are very much a team, and I appreciate everybody's time and efforts and skills. And we're all coming at this from a very good place. So it just feels good. So I just want to say thank you to that. Don, I'm going to turn this over to you. The spiritual program is really the base of the program of why we are here. So it's not about listening to me. It's about listening to all the other people. So Don Assis, our spiritual program coordinator.
Yay! Thank you all for coming. I'll try to overcome my fear of speaking in public. Just a quick look at highlights of last year, and our biggest highlight really was the Light of the Path retreat, which was in August and September. More than 200 people attended, and Canopus Center also benefited from having Rinpoche teach right here one night, as well as many people who took advantage of having him so close and attended at least part of the retreat. Rinpoche has very kindly given us a break for a year before the next retreat, which will be in May of 2019, and this will be our sixth time hosting the Light of the Path. It was originally a five-year retreat, so we're doing something right. Looking forward this year, we have quite a few special events coming up. Our next major holy day will be Sakadawa. That's on Tuesday, May 29, which this marks Shakyamuni Buddha's birth, enlightenment, and passing away. And we usually have refuge offered as an option on Sakadawa, and this year, for the first time, students who wish to take refuge will have the opportunity to do so with Geshe Tsongpo. We have some visiting teachers coming as well. In early July, Don Handrick will be back for almost a week. He'll teach a weekend workshop on the Four Immeasurables, a prayer we recite every Sunday. This will be a great chance to go deeper into the meaning of this essential prayer. Later in July, Venerable Amy will come and lead a Nungne retreat. This is a rigorous purification retreat that involves a lot of prostrations and some fasting. We'll open the registration for that retreat in the next few weeks, and the center will be open as usual that weekend. The retreat will take place off-site. Also in July, on Friday the 6th, His Holiness's birthday, we will once again have a blood drive. This is our participation in Compassion Day, which was started by the North American Regional Division of FPMT as a way to mark His Holiness's birthday. We will also have a special visit later this month from Thich Phuc Thinh, a Vietnamese teacher who is very well known in the Vietnamese community. He'll be teaching here. He'll be using the center on Tuesday night for his Vietnamese students, and will stay another day to teach with translation into English for the benefit of our Canopus Center students, and that's May 22 and 23. And then we have an exciting addition to our regular program of study. For many years, all of our classes have been offered on weeknights or weekends. Starting next month, we will offer our introductory classes during the day. On Thursdays from 10 to 11:30 a.m., we'll start with Buddhism in a Nutshell and follow with Meditation 101, alternating like we do with the evening classes. We're in the final stretch of this cycle of discovering Buddhism, and we'll finish it out this fall, and a new series will begin in January. Lots of volunteers make our spiritual program a success, and we're always happy to hear from anyone who would like to help out. One opportunity is to be a program assistant. If you're interested, come and see me or Aaron Sloan, and we'll be holding an orientation for PAs this Tuesday at 1:30 in the afternoon. Okay. Also, when Geshe Gelick is here, he teaches the Lam Rim classes on Wednesday nights. This is a good class if you're taking Discovering Buddhism or have finished it, but anyone is welcome to attend. Geshe Sangpo has once again started offering practice sessions in two merit-making activities, offering mandalas and doing prostrations. Geshe Sangpo said it's very important to use both wings of the Dharma, study and practice. We have many classes for study, but very few opportunities to do practice together, so he's helping us use both wings. One practice opportunity we offer on a regular basis is doing puja. That's a mysterious Sanskrit word that just means prayer service. Each month we have a guru puja, medicine Buddha puja, and Tara practice. And if you haven't tried one, please come and check it out. Finally, on Sunday mornings, while Geshe Gelick is on his break, and he'll be back in July, our Sunday program will alternate between teachings with Geshe Sangpo and discussions led by senior students. That's it.
Okay, and I think is it David now? Okay, David. David Strebel is the Board of Directors and Kanapa Center Secretary, has been for many years, and we're very, very grateful to his time and skills and efforts in making sure that we are financially aware. So here comes the critical part of this entire meeting.
Thank you. We're just getting the lights off here, and I hope you can all see this. We're using our new projector. The other one broke just yesterday while we were testing. So I'm David Strebel, the treasurer, and what we're going to talk about here today is the financial results from last year, which, of course, are all on the books now, our budget for this year, the results of our annual appeal, and the financial goals of our center. I hope everyone's sitting close enough. Can you read it okay, Hema? Can you read the screen?
Yes.
Okay, great. I don't think we've really mentioned this yet, but we're a nonprofit corporation, as all churches are. We're a charitable organization managed by a board of directors. Here are the names of everyone who's on the board, Sandy and Donna and myself and Royden and Becca and Steve and Hemant. And Susan Daniel, good grief, did I?
Julie.
Yes. And Julie Jones. Oh, yes, I didn't read her name. I'm sorry. Well, this is approximately who's on the board of directors. Some of them are listed here. So every year, of course, the board has to plan our activities and create a budget, and then Jill Marie, our manager, helps administer it throughout the year. So let's review the income from last year, and what this shows is that the annual appeal was the most important source of our income at $147,000. Then we had the Light of the Path retreat last year, which is a very big deal when we have it. The bookstore brought in $45,000 in total sales. That's not nearly all profit, of course. We had to buy everything we sold. The Lama Atisha statue campaign brought in $18,000. General donations unidentified as to person came to $13,009. Spiritual program with donations for visiting teachers and pujas and classes came to $10,000. There were other small contributions coming up to a total of $330,000 in income. Where did the money go? That's what we have here on this slide. As at most churches, personnel were the single biggest expense. We have four employees, two Geshes, and we have our center manager and our office manager. So they all receive some salary and fringe benefits, which varies from position to position. Then the second largest expense was Light of the Path Retreat, came in at $65,000. The bookstore, it cost us about $31,000 to buy what we sold. Administration, which means bank fees and accounting and supplies and internet expenses and so on, were next. Facility operating expenses, $29,000. We spent $19,000 for the Lama Atisha statue in total, so that campaign to raise funds for it just about broke even there. Expenses about equaled income. Committees, we had the 25th year gala last year. That was the single biggest expense here. Came up to $19,000. Mortgage principal, $18,000. We are steadily paying off our mortgage. And expenses for visiting teachers and pujas and classes came to about $6,000 for a total of $351,000. And if you remember the previous number for income, you know that this expense level is quite a lot above the income, which we'll look at here. So in summary then, for last year, we had a deficit of $21,000. And, I managed to touch a wrong button here. And I will have to reopen this presentation. I am sorry. Let's see here. Recents. Here we are. And we will have to go back into the slideshow here. And get back to where we were. So the deficit was $21,000. The budget shortfall here in Raleigh was pretty dramatic, $47,000. The surplus at Light of the Path was $26,000, and therefore, since those two help cancel each other out, the net deficit was $21,000. And how did we do that? Well, thank goodness we had some surplus left over from the previous year, and that meant our checking and savings accounts, checking ended up with less money in it than we had at the start, but it was, we made it okay. So the concern for this year then is that since we don't have a Light of the Path, which traditionally has always resulted in a surplus, that we had to do better at fundraising this year. And that's why when we started our annual appeal campaign, we urged people to increase their donations, in fact, by 26%, which was what the numbers seemed to show we needed. We were going to have to raise 26% more this year. Now, to just back away from that a moment, we'll talk about the annual appeal a little more later. But our current financial situation is the checking account balance is about $50,000. We have a savings account with $26,000 in it. That's set aside for special spiritually related projects. Our monthly expenses average about $22,000, so the amount of money we have on hand is about 3 to 4 months' worth of expenditures, assuming nothing came in the door. And we do have a very small long-term development fund at Vanguard. It only has $4,000 in it. It's invested in the Wellington Fund, which is part stocks and part bonds. And this fund is a beginning on what we hope will be a long-term fund to help us do major renovations, or even to, say, replace our classroom building, or even maybe in the very, very long run to think about moving somewhere else. All those possibilities to meet future needs. And we're trying to lay the foundation by having a way where if somebody was able and decided to give us an amount of money that we could invest it and have some growth over the years before we used it. That's the concept of the long-term fund. and other aspects of our finances. The credit card balance is about $6,000. We just use those for monthly expenditures and pay them off in full every month. We don't actually use credit card credit. And then the only debt our center has is our mortgage, and we owe about $64,000. We're paying it off at $22,300 a year. So now let's turn our attention to the 2018 budget, the one for this year. We decided we had to raise our annual appeal request by 26% to make the budget balance when we looked at all the expenses, which in fact are pretty much the same, have been the same now for years. The cost of running our center here, we've had approximately the same staff expenses. It costs almost exactly the same to heat it, cool it. It costs about the same for all the things we do. And so our $256,000 budget for this year is, in fact, not very different from previous non-retreat years. So our expected income this year in our current budget, which you'll see online, is $255,000. And expected expenses are $262,800. That's $7,400 out of balance, and we must do something about that. We've got to raise something a little more than we have in the income budget in order to reach break even. And we do have last year's financial results and budget and this year's online on our website. So just to talk about how we on the board try to manage our finances, we try to have income and expenses match every year, but we recognize that some people are able to make big donations and other people really can't. So our center greatly welcomes both financial contributions and volunteer work. Both are absolutely essential to make everything go here. On our wish list for this year and the future is to pay down or pay off our mortgage. If all we do is just keep at it the way we are, it will be paid off in 35 months. And we, of course, would like to grow our long-term fund so we'd have some money available for renovations and expansion. And I'd like to mention two important accomplishments we actually managed this year for the first time. First, in the last 2 months, we have just gotten our IRA plan going. Kadampa Center now sponsors an IRA plan. It's managed by Vanguard. And employees can contribute a part of their pay. And it's taken out before taxes. It's a standard IRA. And then Kadampa Center is doing the option to contribute up to 3% from the treasury of the center as a contribution, which adds to the amount the employee puts in. And we're very happy that all four employees have decided to participate. And we just are getting it kicked off. Now we have... all four employees have made contributions for this month, the month of May, for the first time. And, of course, we expect to run that indefinitely into the future. Then we have begun a modest annual support program for our nuns, our ordained nuns. It first started last year where we set aside $5,000 so that they could go to continuing education or retreats, things like that. And in fact, it was divided up equally among the three. And we're following the same plan this year. We've put the amount in the budget. And I should mention that prior to last year, we did not have any budgeted amount for our nuns. People would often ask about it. And we would say, well, we want to do it, but we just have not been able to do it. But starting last year, we did. And we are continuing this and expect that to continue into the future as well. So let me mention one bright spot in our finances here, paying off our mortgage. It was just 2 years ago that we owed First Citizens $181,000. In June of 2016, we took accumulated funds and paid in an extra $72,000. And we received a $5,000 bequest, which we used to pay down the mortgage. And the result is, along with the passage of some time and our regular monthly payments, so now the balance is down to $64,000. And there's 35 months to go. Yay. And, of course, that will free up about 10% of our annual budget then, which could be used for other things. Now, the board has identified that one of the things we need to do is set aside some money for things like roof repairs and other big-ticket items that will occur only at great intervals. And so we've already started to do that just a little bit. We set aside $1,000 starting this year because our classroom building has a very old roof. It's the old original one that was put on it about 20-some years ago. So for expenses like that, we are beginning to set aside money. And if we get the mortgage paid off in 3 years, we are planning to take part of that money that we would have spent on the mortgage and put it into an account that we keep for big maintenance expenses. Because eventually, for example, we will have to replace all the air conditioners here when they get perhaps they'll last 20 years. We are not sure. They've already run for 11. We've been here 11 years. I know it's hard to believe. But So we have that kind of thing in mind. So let's talk about our 2018 annual appeal. We set the goal at $177,000, and that was met. We achieved pledges. It's about 50-50 between the monthly pledges, where people have their accounts drawn on once a month, and one-time gifts, where people donate large amounts, often maybe just one big check a year. We now have 106 monthly supporters, and that's 23 new this year. And we have 96 one-time pledgers, with 36 being new this year. And 54 supporters from prior years increased their pledges. So that's going to bring in about two-thirds of our budget. And, of course, just from seeing the folks here, we probably don't need to emphasize the idea that you could be a sustainer. But I would guess probably you all are. But out there in the lobby, there are the annual pledge forms, should you not have filled one out so far, and care to, and, of course, are helpful. Center manager is ready at all times to talk with anyone who would like to make a pledge. It's not too late to start it this year. For the rest of the year, you could begin monthly pledging if you have not. And we are trying to recognize that we shouldn't just ask for pledges once a year for November and December, but instead when people become new members or when they become more serious about supporting the center, we want to make sure they get the word. In fact, maybe you can help spread that on occasion, that they could start pledging right now. There would be no need to wait until next January. This is just a picture of our webpage, and I know that you may not spend your time looking at all the entries on our website. But at kadampa-center.org, under About Us, there's a place here where it says Budget and Financial Reports, and that brings up those links up there, which right now has the budget for 2017, the budget for this year as of a few days ago, and the income and expenses we've had so far through March. So we are trying to put that on our website, and we're planning to put the quarterly reports out there. So anybody who has an inquiry, if anybody asks you about, well, how do we see the secret details about Kadampa Center finances, the answer is not secret, and we actually put it out there for people to view and in full detail. So that concludes the treasurer's report. Of course, everything we do here depends on your generosity, as we often say. So thank you, and keep up the good work. And I'm sure we have time here for questions. I would be happy to answer them.
When you showed the pledges, David, if somebody, say, is signed up to do $50 a month automatically coming out of their checking account, does that number reflect that 50 a month for the full year?
Can you repeat for the stream?
I'm sorry. When you show the pledges up there, if somebody, say, for example, is doing $50 a month out of their checking account, automatic.
Yeah.
Does that number reflect then that for the full fiscal year you would be all $600? So it isn't just what they've given to date.
That's correct.
So there's only downside to that, not upside. Okay.
Yeah, when we say the pledge campaign was successful, that was because some number, which you can see on the report there, like I believe about $90,000 was pledged. And if you looked at it right now, only one-third of the way through the year, you'd see only about a third of it's been paid in, and that almost everybody has chosen to do automatic draw from their bank. We have a secure financial processor called Vanco, and they arrange to go. Only they know your bank account number. Nobody here at the center does. We don't know your credit card numbers or anything like that. You have to set that up using our computer system, or our helpful center manager does it for you. And I guess she could give you a little advice about how to get it done, but only you can type in your account numbers. So basically the pledging then, if you looked at it right now, under one-time pledging, you'd see that about half of it has come in. And if you look month by month right now, very little is happening. And most of that will come in about next November and December as people get near the end of the year, start to think about their contribution and their pledge. Meanwhile, the monthly stuff just flows in at the rate of about $7,000 a month every month.
And the numbers that you show for projected shows that for the full year.
Yes, it does. Our budget is the plan.
Got it.
It's not exactly what will happen.
They flow, some drop off and some come on, so it's in a state of flux, but we are amazed that it stays really consistent.
Oh, good.
The ones that leave kind of cover the ones that start.
Yes. Of course, all budgeting processes are approximations to what you think is going to happen, and you know, year after year, we have categories where we spend more than we thought or less, and it all tends to balance out. And really, we usually come in within a very, 1 or 2% of the budget every year. And pledges, we've always found that members are very diligent, and when they make a pledge, they virtually always keep right up with it and do it. And for a very few cases where they might be unable, somebody else comes along as a newer member and starts making a pledge, and that substitutes for it. So that we really can pretty much count on it. Other questions? Okay, so I think it's time for the center manager's report.
Thank you. So I'll be doing mine and the family programs report. So I noticed when I went to the bathroom quickly before this that thinking about 3 years now that I do have more gray hair. So I think it's showing. So I just want to acknowledge the management team, just so we have that on record, of who's responsible for doing a lot of the work. The board of directors are fiduciarily responsible, and the management team makes all the details happen. So Robbie Watkins is our director, and I'm the manager. Donna's SBC, And Elise Strebel's outreach and the co-media media managers are Chris Bransky and Brian Dyer, communications coordinator Patty Pandia, our office administrator Amanda Henry, family program coordinator Christy Batts, the bookstore manager Arlene Van Rijkegem, and that's comprised right now of our membership team. So we began our, in just doing a recap of 17, we did a few freshenings. We did it for the gala, but we also thought His Holiness might come, so it was good for us to have a little facelift. So we paved the parking lot, repaved that, and we painted the awnings. And then we just wanted to thank people for coming to that 25th gala because it was a beautiful time. It's always wonderful to see us all hanging out here together, talking about everything in our lives and not just about what's going on at the center. So it was a wonderful evening. So we look forward to what we'll do for our 50th. One of the goals for this position I've been trying to do is to streamline. So you might have heard that or seen it or noticed it. And these are the few ways that that's taken place. We all know about our online security system, which has streamlined all our efforts financially and data-wise. We've been using it for over 2 years now, I think that's right. What it holds is our data for all the members and visitors, the financial pledging and giving. So those are two separate terms we want to make sure that people understand. Pledging is a promise to pay. Giving is giving. All our accounting is now done in this one website, generating reports for various functions. We create mailing labels for our wide distribution. We create groups to house files, more or less, and form emails from those groups. And then we can email total distributions or targeted lists. We have event registration, and the family program now uses it for attendance and data so that we have a promotion. Is that what it's called? The promotion system as the children move up. So it's really been helpful in that ways. For communications, we've made our graphics simpler, more trying to make them a little less noticeable when they're informational, yet everywhere. There's an amazing amount of signage that goes on to help people understand how to navigate this place. Our emails, both this week and our system emails, are streamlined. Our new logo, we're trying to implement it and change it all over the place. And we've even ended up the website sign-in so that everyone has free access, not free, but available access to get to the website. Even our thermostat system is online. So now that that's managed, when there aren't classes, like at the end of Nutshell and there's 3 weeks left, it goes off. So it's really been trying to hone in on managing and making things more affordable yet and streamline. The bookstore has the square now, and it even has a simple cash drawer. Everything is just trying to make it simple because we do over 20,000 in sales at LOP, so we wanted that system to be simple. In our volunteer roles, none of you will have anything to do with this line since you guys volunteer so many ways, but sometimes you hear people talk about how effortless things seem around here, which is not true in the slightest bit. And I would love for the public to hear this, that it's not simple, it's not easy, and it's not effortless. We do want everyone to feel comfortable while they're here and not, like, burdened, but we do want people to know that we need a tremendous amount of effort. So there's far more than 100 roles and hundreds of volunteers within each of those parts to make this place run. So we just want to make sure that everyone feels appreciated for all that working behind the scenes. Most people wouldn't have a clue of what little tiny details that we're all doing. The Count Me In effort is helping. We found 3 designers, a front desk help, some few people for that, kitchen manager, and folks willing to paint. So we're continuing that by promoting it with a consistent graphic campaign. The 2018, David gave a good report of that. I just want to nail it so it's for the recording, that the $263,000 is our total budget. We're going to try to say this a lot coming up. And the $177,000 we raised was 2/3. So we want to make sure that when people heard the word successful, especially Geshela, he thought we were done, and he was a little surprised. And it happens every year. So we're trying to find within IGC new ways to say, we still have to bring the money in with visiting teacher sponsorships. And we might be starting to talk more about our culture, that we have a culture of sponsorship. So let's celebrate that and let's educate and talk about that and why we do it like that. It's a beautiful system. So let's see. The plans for 2018, mainly this year, it's all about just tackling the to-do list. Since there's no big function, it's just whipping through this massive to-do list I've had for 3 years. And it's been great to go through and clean everything out. We are going to get a facelift for everything in the interiors of the building except for the Gompel. That'll happen in 2019 when it's empty. Might as well take advantage of that. So we're painting everything, and the schedule is coming up. I mean, it's on the website. So as soon as the shed is built, we'll have links to all that. Even the office is getting a big facelift with carpeting, and if we get that approved. So that's happening, and then the two shed plan. We're going to have two different sheds now. So one that's going to hold sort of the KC part of it, like Donna and I putting the tables and things that we use in here, and then the tool facility shed will be in the back garden and match the other shed, so that we'll be able to have a pretty good consistent flow when we get rid of the other one. And John Pell's taking that one, so that'll go to good use. We've saved about $3,200 with this plan and what we expected to do. Then we're working on the back garden master plan. So we're trying to get a plan for the whole back garden so that we're not just doing little tiny inputs of things here and there. And let's see, where's the last page? So the shrine project is really important, and we are going to break it up and do it backwards just because of the nature of needing this garden plan. So we're going to do the throne first, and then give the pergola a facelift and paint the whole thing, the whole entire pergola, and then build the shrine next. So we want to make sure that we put the shrine in a place where it's not going to impede any future plans. So that's why we're doing it like that. We did a few changes to close on Mondays, which has been helping. It's just really to have one day for the center manager to have quiet and focus. So everyone's responded quite well. Also, getting that front desk position is helping. None of the visitors basically come in when the front desk people are here. So that's just the way things roll. They answer the phone and help out in ways like that. They're very protective of the time. So basically, just going to tell you the time away coming up. There's a lot happening. In last year I went to a foundation service seminar training in March. This year I'm going to go through a week and a day of nonprofit management training mid-June, and I was informed that I will be crawling out the door after that. And I'll crawl out and go to Colorado for some training for FPMT and then take a vacation in June. And this week I'm on staycation. Right now I'm on vacation. So in closing, I just wanted to say one thing that I thought was interesting from our beautiful, humorous teaching today. And I think I'm right about this, so Donna, correct me if I'm wrong. But when Don talked about how he met the Dharma and how he met Lama Zopa Rinpoche and Lama Yeshe, it was really hearing them giggle. And that he was going to do a photographic shoot of Kopan, is that right? I think that's the story. And so he heard them laughing, and he didn't have a great mind when he was getting ready to do one more shoot. And so for me, I've made this connection, and it's just like a Jillism, that because he heard their giggling, we're standing here right now, sitting and standing. Like if he hadn't made that connection, or he said, I don't feel like going, would we be here? So to me, I've always just, it's helped me keep my sense of humor, and I have a picture of the Dalai Lama over my desk that said, are you having fun, dear? Every day, because I have to remind myself, why am I doing what I'm doing? And so laughing is really important, and it is, I think, why we're here. But none of this would be possible without the guidance and teachings of our loving teachers, especially Geshe Sangpo and Geshe-la. And though from my side, amid all the quippy side notes, the skits, and the love letters, I just want to make sure that you guys know how much I dearly love serving you each and every day. So I'm here for you, our leaders are all here for you, and we want to know how we can serve you better, because that's our job. And to close with a quote, there's nothing more important than serving in a Dharma center. So thank you. Now for Christy's report, it's just one page. Family program. This year, the family program has expanded and transformed in many ways. The school year Sunday morning classes began in September. With these classes, we have tried a more cooperative model in order to create a self-sustaining program. Thanks to more that can be named here, volunteers, we have consistently offered classes to three age ranges almost every Sunday this year. After trying many ways to manage ourselves, we've come to a decision that sustainability means a Sunday morning facilitator to support the teaching volunteers. So this is our goal, to try to help find a Sunday morning facilitator. So we were fleshing out this description, and we'll be promoting that in June. Thanks to Colleen and Sandy Mitchell, the family program has been hosting third Friday potlucks and discussion groups, and I'm here when they come in, and it's very well attended and joyful. Child care is available, and the parents share wonderful experiences of parenting in the Dharma. Another way to connect with other Dharma parents has been an active, unaffiliated Facebook group. So we want you to be connected that way, too. You can find Christy to join that. 2017 summer, we decided to try taking a break for children's classes on Sunday morning. But thanks to Dorothy and Vivian, the summer will now be hosting a hands-on art Sunday morning called Operation 16G. Still based on a select few of the 16 guidelines, kids will experience what we study year-round, but with more interactive and collaborative fun. The summer will begin with a family camp out at Falls Lake over Memorial Day weekend and conclude with the Dharma camp in Fuquay Varina this weekend before most schools even begin. No, not this weekend, the weekend before most schools begin. Family Dharma camp in 2017 was in the mountains last September, coinciding with Light of the Path. The time to take teachings from Rinpoche and visit him in his cabin and walk around the animal liberation altar with him were invaluable to us all. This year, we'll be back to the comfortable Agape Retreat Center in Fuquay Varina. The proximity and affordability of this location make it possible for more people to join us and maybe bringing last year's 80 or so attendees closer to the 100 mark again this upcoming August, when we will continue in our study of the six perfections, highlighting patience. Save the date of August 25th to 27th. And more information is always available in our on our website. And if you have any want to see the weekly updates, contact your center manager.
Want to close it down?
I think that. Any other questions? I think that that would conclude the 2018 meeting, and I think we are going to talk about some ways to get this information out to our community, since so many people took. But that's a good awareness too. So we just need to find other ways to communicate. Okay. So thank you.